As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome aboard The Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait.
Welcome into the Can't Wait podcast. Tim McMaster here, along with Zach Rosenblatt, our Jets reporter at The Athletic, and our producer extraordinaire, Marissa Dunn. This is kind of an emergency podcast. Basically, we were looking for an excuse to record a podcast. The Reddick deal broke, Friday afternoon before Easter. I was out of state without a microphone. It just didn't make sense to jump on. So Stephon Diggs got traded today. It impacts the Jets. Obviously, we decided that was as good enough a reason as any to hop on and record the latest episode of the Can't Wait podcast. So thank you all for joining us live. If you're doing that on YouTube, or if you're catching up with us a little bit later in the audio version, we're going to get into Diggs. We'll get into Reddick, some other stuff going on around the Jets. How was everybody doing? How are you guys doing?
Yeah. I'm waiting for the lull, because it seems like every time I think it's coming, there's not one. My editor, Allison, was off last week, and she comes back. She's like, I see things were nice and loud last week, because you had like the Woody Robert Sala stuff. You had the Hassan Reddick trade on Friday at 4 p.m.
It was a good Friday for the Jets.
There you go. And the weather's been crappy these days. It's been raining like every day. Can't catch a break. But yeah, life's good, so can't complain too much.
So speaking of the weather, life story. Ailey is, she does forest school, which is in Central Park, in the North Woods of Central Park, where it's like really not the, not what people think of as Central Park. It's actually like the wilderness in the woods. So it's a once a week thing. It's like 2 hours, and it doesn't matter what the weather is. They do it. So she has this, I wish I had sent a picture, but she has this full body like rain suit that's still too big. It's it's amazing. But anyway, so it was
I was just looking up raincoats for my dog today.
Came back soaked. Meanwhile, I'm just sitting here like waiting for him to come back. But
nice and cozy and warm.
I was just looking up raincoats for my dog today, because it's getting annoying that she gets, so I have to walk her, whether it's rain or shine. So I always see all these dogs, all these cute jackets on. So I'm like, all right, I got to get my dog a raincoat. So I've been looking them up.
Okay. Well, Madison doesn't have a raincoat. So if your dog and Ailey has one, I think I have to get her.
Yeah. Can't wait branded raincoats.
Yeah. There you go.
Or you just don't go outside with her, which is a fair option as well. Yeah.
That's much better.
All right. Let's talk some Jets. Let's talk some Stephon Diggs, who is making the move from cold and snowy Buffalo to the warm weather and indoor facilities down in Houston, Texas. He is traded to the Texans. Another weapon for CJ Stroud. This obviously impacts the Jets more on the other side of it with the Bills, but here's the deal. A second round pick next year's draft, 2025, and a fifth round pick in the 2025 draft. That's what the Bills get back. The Texans get Diggs. They've also added Joe Mixon. They already have Nico Collins and Tank Dell. It's four more years of Diggs on that deal that he has signed. So let's quickly talk about the Texans, who are quickly becoming a force in the AFC, I think, Zach.
Yeah, they're doing what teams with a star quarterback on a rookie contract like should do more often. I think some get to, you know, a little afraid to like give up assets and stuff like that, but they're going all in around CJ Stroud. You know, they struck gold on their head coach too last year. So I think they're all in on trying to like be a contender like immediately, which I don't know that maybe that would have been their plan this offseason if last season didn't go the way it did. I think CJ was even better than they could have expected. So
I mean, it's been quick.
Yeah, it's like, been quick. So and so you add Diggs to a receiver room that already looked very good with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. They like loaded up on defense. They signed Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry. They signed a couple other guys on defense. I don't have the names in front of me, but they're all in on winning this year. And they didn't really give up that much for Stephon Diggs, frankly. Like I know that he's, I guess in the grand scheme of things, it makes some sense because he's 30. His contract, as you mentioned, it goes for a long time and it's pretty significant. The Bills had to get off that money, which, you know, so there was appeal to them to maybe not take as much back if somebody was willing to just like take him off their hands kind of thing. I don't know what the Bills are doing. We can talk. We'll get into that, obviously. But the Texans, like, yeah, as someone just said, the Texans are what the Jets were supposed to be. Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, yeah, if Zach Wilson had worked out. DJ's yeah, because, yeah, I mean, same defense, you know, 49ers coaching tree. They did lose. They tried getting Saquon, too, by the way. People forget that already. They were the favorite to get him, everything I heard leading up to it. And they settled for Joe Mixon, who's like a solid running back. They'll be fine with him. And they just like they're loaded and they still are going to be able to add, you know, they don't have a first round pick because they traded it to get Will Anderson last year. And he was the defensive rookie of the year, but they're going to be able to keep adding talent. You know, Nick Caserio, I think, has done an amazing job. I think early on he was getting dinged because it was like a mess there with like the Jack Easterby and all that stuff. But I think he's done a great job of doing a lot of short-term deals to keep them flexible at the cap and they're able to go and make a move like this. And now they have a number one receiver in Diggs. I think, guy who's a number one talent and Nico Collins, and they have a really, really good defense, a really good head coach, an up and coming offensive coordinator. Like they have, like you said, like it literally is like all the pieces that the Jets were supposed to have. You had Mike LaFleur in place of Bobby Slowick before Saleh in place of D'Amico Ryans. Like it's kind of funny to see the parallels, and it really is amazing that if you just strike on the quarterback, how much of a difference that makes. Like that's everything. Like if they're fielding Bryce Young, they're not going all in this offseason probably. Or maybe they are like the Panthers and they're just trying to like, you know, overpay guys to surround a quarterback who didn't show anything with talent. But you get CJ Stroud and all of a sudden your future looks a little brighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be fun to watch for sure. All right, so the Bills side of this, it's not just Diggs who's left the building, right? Tre'Davious White is gone. Jordan Poyer is gone. Mitch Morse is gone. This is a roster that has taken a serious hit. Obviously, they still have the quarterback.
Yeah,
they still have some weapons. The Bills are, I think, going to be a good team. But the last, 3 years, we've said the Bills should be in the Super Bowl, and they haven't. And now I'm not sure we're going to be saying that leading into 2024.
Yeah, I'm very curious I don't really understand the pivot. I mean, I guess they're trying to save some money. They did get rid of some older guys. You know, I think they maybe don't view like the Poyers of the world as like big of a loss as maybe it seems, just because there's like all these big guys they're getting rid of. And at the end of the day, they have the quarterback. He's the best quarterback in the division, one of the best in the league. And so they're going to be in it as long as they have Josh Allen. But I mean, Josh Allen can't be happy looking around seeing what his top receiver right now is Curtis Samuel, who's a slot receiver. Who they signed this offseason. They have Khalil Shakir, who's just like a fast guy. They have Dalton Kincaid at tight end, who they drafted in the first round last year. They have James Cook at running back, and they have a pretty solid offensive line. But, you know, they just trade a number one receiver, and, you know, maybe they have a plan to replace him. Maybe they're going to make a splash. Maybe they'll draft somebody. They have a later draft pick because they've been winning. They've won the division 4 years in a row. But, like, on paper, and I have a story coming out about this tomorrow that I'm sure is going to anger some Bills and Dolphins fans. Patriots fans, I think, are pretty depressed right now. So nobody's even talking about them because they've had the weirdest offseason beyond the like losing Belichick. But
nothing like setting your new coach up for success by not adding anything.
When they keep putting their foot in their mouth, it's like they've acted like the Jets usually do this offseason. They're like, yeah, we're going to spend. We're going to get weapons at receiver. And they've done like none of that. So they look like a mess. But yeah, so I really do think on paper, and again, it's just on paper, that the Jets do have the best roster in the AFC East. Again, like if you're waiting quarterback, I think the Bills, you could argue, still have the best team just because they have Josh Allen. But healthy Aaron Rodgers, you know, you fix the offensive line in theory. You add Mike Williams, who in theory is a great number two. The defense is still loaded at all levels. And you just added Hassan Reddick, who we're going to get into, is, you know, maybe the best pass rusher in the division already. And a guy that I never expected them to go after, although it seems like they were in since the beginning. But I just think, you know, I went position by position for the story I did. And defensively, they were at or near number one in almost every spot. I think they have the best running back in the division in Breece Hall. Garrett Wilson doesn't really stack up with the Dolphins receivers. Like, they're always going to win that battle. But the Dolphins also, like, have kind of taken a step back, I think, roster-wise. They've gotten rid of a lot of guys. They've lost some offensive linemen. So, you know, the Jets are famous for winning the offseasons a lot. It doesn't ultimately matter much. It would be the most, like, set up for disappointment thing ever if everybody's like, okay, we're the best team in the division, and then, you know, whatever, the Bills are good anyway, or something happens, or the Dolphins go off, or the Patriots are better than it. Like, whatever's can go wrong will, you generally assume, with the Jets. And they have so much risk on their roster, obviously. Questions about their coaching staff, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, I just think on paper, this is the most talented Jets roster in a long, long time. And I think the most talented roster in this division.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Let's dive into Reddick then. You know, this is a guy who's, you could still say he's in his prime, right? 29 years old. It's a conditional sixth round pick to Philly. You could almost say that the Jets traded Bryce Huff in a sixth round pick to Philly for
third round pick, conditional third round pick.
Conditional. Oh, right. I'm sorry. Yeah. But it's interesting good. The way this whole thing plays out with Huff going to the Eagles and then Reddick comes back. Final year of his deal. Reports that he wanted $25 million per year in an extension. Can't imagine that's coming from the Jets. So in a lot of ways, Zach, this does feel like a one-year rental from Reddick to fill a void. And then, I mean, you do think that at some point Will McDonald has to step up and be a first-round pick type talent. So now you've kind of given him some more runway here where he'll not be depended upon for basically 2 years before he'll have to step up. But just sum up the deal for us beyond what I'm saying.
Yeah, you know, there's a few different angles to it, but, you know, it's a clear sign out of all the moves they've made. I mean, if you combine it with the Tyron Smith contract and the Mike Williams contract, they're very clearly not committing any money beyond this year. They're going all in on this year. I shouldn't say they're not committing money beyond this year. A lot of these contracts are structured where they're going to be paying these guys, you know, when they're not even under contract anymore. But Joe Douglas has very clearly just gone all in. He's taken some risks on some guys with some injury questions and stuff like that. Reddick, I think, is the least risky guy he added. And the most like surefire, like, I don't think there's even a way you can criticize that move. Other than if you want to say, like, why didn't you just re-sign Bryce Huff?
Right.
Who's younger. But I think Hassan Reddick is better right now than Bryce Huff is. And, you know, Bryce Huff could become Hassan Reddick, but you have Reddick right now, who's like fourth in sacks in the NFL the last 4 years, was fourth in defensive player of the year voting 2 years ago. Like, he's an absolute stud. And I'm more curious about, like, I mean, I guess you kind of get it because the Eagles are clearly going younger there and they value Bryce Huff. But, you know, it's just so fascinating that these two wound up on the opposite teams too, because now everybody's going to compare how both those guys do this year. and it's going to reflect poorly on one team and better on the other team. And the Eagles didn't really get that much for him, if you think about it, because it's a third round pick next year. And he just needs, if he plays, I think it's, I don't have it in front of me. I'm blanking on the percentage of snaps and 10 sacks. He has to get both of them in order 60 to.
60 something percent.
Yeah, I think 65% or 67.5%. I'll pull it up in a minute. But he has to get that and 10 sacks in order for it to become a second round pick next year, which obviously is like, if it doesn't work out and Joe Douglas isn't here, then that's not really his problem anyway. So I don't know. I was taken aback by this one. Like they clearly felt that edge rusher was a need. They were going after, first they tried getting Shaq Barrett. Mm-hmm. They hosted Jadeveon Clowney. I get the impression they might not have signed Clowney right away because they were looking into Reddick. I think Reddick was like, once they found out that the Eagles were letting Reddick explore a trade, they were into it. And once being clear that he'd be willing to come here and like play on a 1 year deal, I think they were willing to do it too. They're basically paying him $15 million this year, which is not bad for an elite pass rusher. So, you know, they arguably upgraded at defensive end now all of a sudden. That already was a great group when they have Bryce Huff. I'm very curious to see what that rotation looks like with JFM, Jermaine Johnson, and Hassan Reddick, which is a great trio. And like you mentioned, there's the Will McDonald angle, which is a big part of this too.
Duncan McLean mentioned actually in the chat. It's actually a 2026 third round pick, not even next year.
Oh, yeah. My bad. Yeah.
2 years from now. And it is 65% of the snaps as far as that goes.
65, yes. It's a great trade. Like, I absolute home run, I think. I thought they should have kept Bryce Huff. He's 25 years old. You lock that guy in long term and you roll with it. They decided they didn't want to commit long term and they wanted to let him test the market. He got more money, I think, per year than Reddick is technically making for the Jets this year. So, you know, it was a risk they were willing to take. They view Hassan Reddick as a better player. They added a better player, and they're a team that's all in on this year, and they're a team that thinks they're going to be having a lot of pass rushing opportunities. So, you know, if Reddick breaks those thresholds and makes it a second round pick, you can live with that because of that production and how much he played. And it's the same thing with Smith.
And your trip to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and your trip to the Super Bowl. And same thing with the Tyron Smith deal, the same thing with Mike Williams deal. Like, if they reach these thresholds, then that means everything went well. So, I mean, the defense was going to be elite without Hassan Reddick, and now I don't see any way it's not. Assuming they have the same amount of luck in terms of injuries that they had the last couple of years, which I can't imagine they will, but yeah, I don't know. It's just not what I expected. And, you know, Jadeveon Clowney, I think his deal he signed with the Panthers was for 2 years, $20 million, which is pretty reasonable ultimately if you look at the player. But Reddick's a better player than Clowney's a better run stopper, which I think is a factor. Like, Reddick isn't as good in run defense. I think he had a cold spell early last season. But, you know, just think on passing downs, they could roll out a group that includes Jermaine Johnson and Hassan Reddick and JFM and Quinnen Williams, and you can even throw in Will McDonald as an extra pass rusher, or like some creativity, and it just gives Jeff Ulbrich so much he could do. I think they still need to add a safety, but otherwise they're in really good shape on defense. But yeah, Will McDonald, I think we should talk about. On one hand, you can view this as a negative because it's pretty clear sign that they don't believe he can like step in for Bryce Huff this year yet. Like, they don't think he's ready. But on the other hand, you know, while it's not ideal to have your first round pick from a year ago be the fourth defensive end and probably not really playing all that much, in terms of his development, this will wind up being a good thing, I think. You know, he's going to learn from Hassan Reddick. He's going to be able to just be a pass rusher this year. I think if they're winning games or they have leads in games, he'll have chances to rush the passer. So you can build him into, like, basically like you built Bryce Huff up. And again, like, it was a bad pick at the time. We said it at the time, and we'll say, and like, it's even more obvious now, but like, you have the player now, so you have to do what's best for the player. So I still think Will can be a good player, and this just gives him less pressure. And if somebody gets hurt, you have a first round pick from last year on the roster, still Michael Clemens. So I think this will be a good thing in the long run for Will McDonald, even if it's frustrating in the moment, because they could have Jordan Addison, Zay Flowers, Jackson Smith and Jigba, any of those guys that they passed on to draft a defensive end that barely played. But while he maybe isn't ready for a full-time role, I think he can become a pass rush specialist like Bryce Huff was. And I think that's not the worst thing.
Don't just ride the index, seek to outperform it with Fidelity Active ETFs. Learn more at fidelity.com/active ETFs. Before investing in any exchange-traded fund, you should consider its investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Contact Fidelity for a prospectus, an offering circular, or if available, a summary prospectus containing this information. Read it carefully. While active ETFs offer the potential to outperform an index, these products may more significantly trail an index as compared with passive ETFs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, let's talk about the draft. Easy transition there. By the way, Jeff Howe gave them an A- for the trade on The Athletic. He's doing the trade grades for us now. So gave a B the other way to the Eagles. All right, so all these deals, everything that's happened this offseason so far really puts the Jets in a great place as far as the draft goes, right? Yeah. They've already filled the needs of the offensive line, although we've continuously said they could use more for sure. But the immediate spots are filled. They've added a receiver in Williams, so there's not like that glaring they need to add a receiver at number 10. They can do what you teams always say they're going to do, which is take the best player. But you have a recent article out about who the most likely picks are. You have Brock Bowers circled as number one, which obviously would make Aaron Rodgers happy to have that weapon at tight end. And then there's, you know, after that, it's probably the offensive tackles we've talked about, right? But it depends who falls there too. Like, you know, if it's Fuaga, did I even say that right?
Yeah.
You know, he's Dane Brugler's number four offensive tackle. That's one thing. Maybe Brock Bowers is the obvious pick. But then if one of those higher offensive tackles move, you know, falls, then maybe you go there. And maybe a guy like Adunze falls at wide receiver. So there's all these options. They're in a good place. Where a month ago, I think we would have said, they're going to have three obvious needs that they need to fill in that first round. Now there isn't one.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I get, like, as you referenced, like, obviously you could argue they still need wide receiver and tackle because of who they added, but yeah, they have the starters in place. So you can go in and be like, okay, who's the best player we can get on the board? I put Brock Bowers there just because, you know, with this ranking, I tried to emphasize this. And usually people understand it. Like, it's not like a ranking of who I think is the best player or who I think they should pick or whatever. I just think the most likely based on who will be available and things like that. I go back and forth whether I think the Jets would actually take Bowers or not. I do think if I'm predicting like right this minute, I might go offensive tackle if they stayed at 10, but it just all depends on what happens in front of them. Like, I feel like those top three receivers are going to get picked. And I think at least three quarterbacks and probably four will go in the top 10. But you know, if a quarterback falls and all of a sudden you have a great pick to trade back, there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. Or if one of those receivers falls, you could scoop them up. I do think if they had their druthers, they would prefer to trade back, pick up a second round pick. That way you can get an offensive tackle and a receiver in the first two rounds. You know, if Joe Alt falls to number 10, I think he's a possibility. Like, he's somebody that would be hard to turn down. He's like 6'8". And he's the consensus, like, top tackle. I don't think everybody views him that way. But yeah, you know, they have real optionality here, and I think that's the biggest strength you can have. I should say, Boy Green just asked when we're having Dane Brugler on, and we are in discussions with Dane about getting
we're negotiating. Dane's busy this time of
year. He's busy with the Beast, which, as Tim said, if we distracted him from finishing the Beast, they might fire us. So,
yes. Hopefully next week or maybe the week after, the Beast should be dropping. I believe it's next Wednesday. Don't quote me.
Ooh, baby.
But I believe it's next week the Beast is dropping. So this week,
yeah, definitely don't quote you because it's definitely been known to get pushback.
This week was basically don't bother Dane so he can finish the Beast week. So we'll let the master do his work.
But my draft season Bible. I cannot wait for it.
Yes.
So we'll get him on. I'm curious what he thinks.
The crazy thing is we used to have Dane on in October, November. We haven't had him on since last year's draft, which even though the Jets season was a disaster, I guess it still speaks highly that we haven't talked about the
draft until now. Yeah, because it was a very strange season too. So it's nobody was really caring about the draft during the season. I think and I'm working on a mock draft too. Like I wouldn't rule out either a trade back or a trade up. Like if we're going with the theory that like Joe Douglas is all in on winning this year, you know, whatever about next year, I don't care about the money or the draft picks next year. But why not go up and get Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers if they're there at 5 or 6, like trade a future second, whatever it is, whatever the draft value, because the 10th is a pretty valuable spot still. So a team like the Chargers, they really want to build up their roster. The Cardinals have a million holes. I would do it personally. Like, and I know trading up for a receiver, like I know there's arguments to be made against that because there's so many good receivers in these drafts these days, but like those two guys are like generational type receivers, I think. And you essentially have two number one receivers plus Mike Williams, who at his best is a very good number two. So I would do that.
Without a second round pick, what are the Jets to move from 10 to 5?
I mean, you could do a second round pick next year, I guess.
Next year,
Or next year's first, although I mean that the value changes a little bit, I guess, when you're going into future years, but
you're hoping that pick is like 28, 29.
Yeah, yeah. So they'd have to give up a lot, certainly. But I don't know. I think it's worth it. I think if Joe Douglas wants to, you know, the offseason started, everybody accused both me and Joe Douglas of sleeping too much. And then within a few days, like a week, everybody was.
I think they've forgiven Joe. I don't
know what I'm saying, but like if he wants to keep this momentum going, trading up and getting Marvin Harrison Jr., like even if they lose every game, I don't think anybody would blame him at that point. I mean, they would, but you know what I mean. I personally am all about trading up. If those guys fall to the spot, they might not. For like, it might be all smoke with like the JJ McCarthy stuff and all that. And if not that, I do whatever you can to trade back. I'm skeptical they'll be able to, as I've talked about, though. There are some teams that need offensive tackles. So if like Joe Alt falls or if somebody loves Fuaga or the kid from Penn State, like the Steelers, I know they need an offensive tackle. I think the Colts might. There's a couple teams that need offensive linemen. If you can, you'll pick up a second round pick, trade back. You can still get Brian Thomas from LSU. You could still get Troy Fontenot, the offensive lineman from Washington, who's like pretty versatile. And then you also have a second round pick to address whatever position you didn't just pick or get a starting safety. Like, trade up or trade back are like my top two choices personally, unless you get lucky and one of those receivers are at 10. But as I sit here right now, like I don't think that'll happen. So trade up or trade back. You're either trading back and getting more assets or trading up and getting rid of all your assets. So it's two wildly different things, but that's kind of where the Jets are at. Like and they can add two quality depth pieces or they can add a star. So
yeah, I was gonna say either of those options I think is good, is smart. Like either way, like depending on you know what presents itself, I could be on board with either of those things. I think though getting a second round pick would be huge to trade back. And maybe you could trade back, still get Bowers, get a second round pick. There's so many options there because of where they are and what they need. All right. Few other like news and notes to get to. We haven't discussed the Woody Johnson, Robert Saleh supposed like fight, verbal skirmish at the owner's meeting that seems to be way overblown. What do you think, Zach? You want to weigh in?
It's just like, especially once Woody chimed in on Twitter with like, you know, trashing the NFL owned NFL network. I was just like another like normal day in Jets sphere. Like it just can't stop. Like I don't even blame them for any of what happened here, but it's just like this doesn't happen with other teams. Like it just doesn't. And I don't know if an argument happened. I would be surprised if it did, just knowing how Robert Saleh and Woody Johnson operate and both of them knowing they're around the entire NFL.
That's the thing that's crazy to me. These guys talk all the time. They've probably had plenty of fights behind closed doors, but
It was a weird report, and I like Colleen Wolf. I don't know her personally. I'm not going to like disparage her by any means. I just don't know that like a secondhand conversation should have been shared in the way that, like, it was just strange to me that she like reported that thing, even if that wasn't her intention. But honestly, I'm not trying to criticize her. She was doing a podcast. It was also for entertainment purposes. Like, she was having fun on the pod. Right. Like, I totally get it.
It's different than if she had like tweeted out, like,
She didn't double down or anything like that. But it was just like another like distraction slash headline where, like I said, like, it's, seems like there's two things a week this off season where there's like a signing and there's something weird happening every week. So, it'd be nice to have, usually this is the quiet time coming up. It'd be nice if they could give me a little, I have some PTO coming up, going to Woodstock, yearly trip with my girlfriend and my pup for my pup's birthday. She's turning 11 years old.
Wow.
And I would like to just like unplug and not worry about anything. So,
you like 100% just jinxed yourself. Like,
well, I'm turning my phone off. And so if something happens, somebody else can take care of it. I'm telling my boss.
That's good.
Give me a break.
Tim and I will hop on here and just be
we'll cover it.
But ultimately, it was much ado about nothing. And the Jets are, what this comes down to, the Jets are an easy target right now. So people are going to take their chance to like make fun of the Jets whenever they can. And that's, I think that's what it was, more than even like a report. And Jets fans are equally mad about how everybody's making fun of them all the time right now. So it's very contentious on the social media sphere. I would recommend not going on Twitter as much as you can, I would say, if you're anybody. It's just bad for your health anyway. But anyway, yeah. And then I don't know, what's next? What else we got to hit?
Before Justin Hardy and Michael's new teammate, Hardy, I want to mention that you can quote me, according to Dane's Twitter, April 10th, I was correct.
There you go. So you didn't speak out of turn.
I did not speak out of turn. I knew I had read that or
heard
that.
Oh, and it's actually on. It's been promoted.
Gave himself a deadline there, I guess. Yeah.
So next Wednesday, a week from today.
Can't wait.
The Beast release.
And of course, subscribers to The Athletic get access to The Beast.
Yep. So all these different prospects we've been talking about. Dane, I think for the past, I don't know how many years, has not missed a player that has been drafted in the Beast.
Amazing.
It is what
it's crazy. Know. Yeah.
And I guess if people have no idea what we're talking about, the Beast is Dane's published like draft preview that just lists, I don't know.
Like draft Bible.
I think he's been doing it since before he was at The Athletic too.
Yeah.
I think he's been doing it since he was in like high school.
He's been doing it for a really long time.
Well, the best, I go back to it throughout the year and years later, because he'll like have details about these guys, because he like has conversations with everybody. I don't even know how he does it.
Yeah.
I mean, we should like grill him on specifics. I'm sure he's been grilled a million times about it. But
yeah, my favorite thing was so one year when we were at the draft for The Athletic Football Show, we looked up Dane had Michael in the draft his little report, and I sent it to Michael. Michael said that was very accurate. His arm length, amazing. What was his strengths and what was his weaknesses, and so that was, Michael came out in 2017, so he's been doing it at least that long. So
and it's always fascinating seeing what he said about like people, whether they work out or not, like what, because he usually like hits like, well, if they do this then they can become this kind of player, or if they don't figure out this part then they won't, and that usually like is what happens.
But, yeah, and he also
like, maybe his rankings aren't always like perfect, but nobody's are, like, it's all personal,
of course, you don't know what's,
and like the other side of it, like the, you know, the family side of things, or like what players have gone through.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like he has details in there that like,
yeah, it's amazing,
you can't really get anywhere else.
So totally, and
it's
like
amazing,
you're not gonna find anything like that anywhere else. So we love Dane. Huge fans of Dane. So if you're not subscribing,
and who will be joining the Can't Wait soon to tell us more about it
when he finishes.
Yeah, when he finishes.
Justin Hardy is joining the Cleveland Browns.
Yes.
Ohio native.
New teammate of Michael Dunn, like you mentioned, Marissa. Mm-hmm. But it's a loss for the Jets, no doubt. This is a guy who, I remember when the Jets signed him, it was a commitment to special teams, because the Jets special teams hadn't been great. And this was a commitment where they were signing a guy specifically for that role, which not all teams do. And he fulfilled that role and he was great. And obviously the Jets special teams have been better. And now this guy who's kind of led that charge is gone. I feel like there is a different personality to this Jets special teams unit than there used to be though.
Yeah.
With Boyer in charge and everything. And I'm sure they'll still be good this year, but but it's tough seeing Hardy leave.
Yeah. And, you know, I got some crap from some Jets fans on Twitter about like saying it was a big loss for Brant Boyer, by the way. I didn't even necessarily say for the team, but it is. He was like double and triple teamed as a gunner on special teams, which I think is an underrated thing. Like, obviously, you know, this isn't going to be the difference from them winning 10 games or 12 games or anything like that. But like, you know, and it's all those like little things that good teams do. And he does those little things. And he got a few too many penalties, but when he was on the field, he was very good. And he got hurt last year, and that probably let him go because Irv Charles is a young guy they have who filled in pretty well. They signed Isaiah Oliver from the 49ers, who I think will play a pretty big special teams role. They have Brandon Echols. They'll probably draft some guys late in the draft. Usually the day three picks for the Jets are always like special teams guys. Like, they're going to fill it out. But yeah, and I think it's a big loss. He was a special teams captain. He was a voice in that locker room in general. You know, he's very close with DJ Reed and Sauce and like those corners. Like, the locker room is going to miss him. I don't know what the numbers were that he got. I do know a video has been resurfacing of after the Browns killed the Jets, of him going up to Joe Flacco and be like, get a Super Bowl for my city or whatever, because he's a Ohio kid. I think I don't know where in Ohio he's from, but
I think Cleveland. I could be wrong, but
that's right. Yeah. Michael will love him though. He's definitely a great locker room guy. The media, Zach Jackson, will love him too. He wanted to talk to the media. Like, we would go stretches without talking to him, and then he like got made the all pro or whatever. And he's like, none of you guys ever go up to my locker besides this person and this person. Like, he'd call people out for not talking to him more. So he's a character, and they're going to miss him, I think.
Yeah. He is.
Taylor Delgado said, did the new kickoff rules affect the decision at all?
Maybe. I also just think the Jets, you know, we're mostly budget shopping this offseason too. And you have to save money here and there at a certain spots. And they didn't prioritize him because they're probably going to have Irv Charles play a bigger role, like I said, and they signed Isaiah Oliver. So I don't think they made him a priority. I'd heard a few weeks ago that he probably wasn't going to come back. I wasn't ready to like report it or anything, because, you know, those kind of things can be ever changing. Ashton Davis, another guy that as of now hasn't returned, and he's a key special teams guy. So it's going to be a new look special teams group, though they did bring back Morstead and Zerline, which is the moves that the fan base cared about more, I would say.
Marissa, I cut you off there.
Oh, no, I was just going to say he is a Cleveland native. So
there you go.
Cool getting to play in your home city. So
yeah, great for him.
Yeah.
Am I missing anything?
I don't think they've done anything else. I would say as we go forward, the spots that I have my eye on of them still like adding veterans, maybe they'll wait till after the draft, would be backup running back. Though there's not as many good ones because they keep getting scooped up. But Zeke Elliott's still out there. I think he'd be good. I think they need a veteran swing tackle. They might just be waiting to see if they get a tackle 10th overall. I know they love Carter Warren, but I would get a veteran swing tackle, and they probably need another safety. So those are kind of the three spots I have my eye on.
All right. And we'll keep our eyes out for them as well. We'll see. I'm sure. Who knows? We say we'll be back next week with Dane, but this is the Jets, so you never know. Before that, we will see. But definitely keep your eye open. We'll let you know when the next episode's coming up as we get closer and closer to the 2024 NFL Draft. Thanks to everybody for joining us here on the Can't Wait Podcast.